Welcome to Living Free Today, a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship in San Lorenzo, California. These podcasts are the weekly sermons of Dr. Michael L. Wilson.
If you would turn with me, please, in your Bible to Psalm 11, Psalm 12, Psalm 12. Psalm 12 is a prayer for help in the age of universal hypocrisy and untrustworthiness, where everybody is trying to get our attention. David is asking for help from God because he can find no more righteousness on earth. And it seems today that as we are bombarded with words and teachings and thoughts, that they are all trying to get us to follow them and not God, trying to control people and move people. And with this psalm and with the situations today, we can say without a doubt that words matter. The words that we hear and the words that we say. And above that, truth matters and being able to determine what is true and what is not true. 150 years ago, a guy by the name of Mark Twain supposedly said, "A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes." Now, he said that when all he had was a newspaper and telegraph. Today, we have so many ways to instantly move words around the world 15 times while truth is still putting on its shoes. And it's interesting how lies are much more enticing, almost like people are crafting lies in an attempt to get our attention, while the truth is mundane and boring. Psalm 12 is a psalm of David, and he starts by saying, "Save, O help, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of men." We do not know exactly the occasion of him writing this psalm. Some have said that it was when there was a conflict between him and Saul before David became king. But David is in a situation where he looks out amongst the people and he sees no followers of the one true God. He sees no righteousness, that everybody is going for their own agenda. And we can today see a world in which many people are going for their own agenda, and many people are trying to say, follow them and do what they say, versus do what God says. There are four things that are talked about in the way the wicked speak in this verse, in this chapter. And the first is that they lie. And the word in Hebrew for lie, everyone utters lies to his neighbor, does not necessarily mean purposely trying to deceive you, but emptiness, meaningless, a lie in ancient Hebrew, a lie in the Bible, doesn't necessarily have to be a calculated untruth. It can be meaningless or zero value talk, small talk, insincerity, irresponsibility. Today we might say that the political banter that goes back and forth, because the politics of the day will change from moment to moment, and so the crisis of today has really no meaning in eternity, has no meaning in the life of this country, and so it is empty, it is void, it is vacuous, and a lot of what people listen to, a lot of what people put into their heads with their devices and their TV is empty and devoid of meaning. It can be entertaining. It can cause us to laugh. It can bring about memories, perhaps, and sentimentality for some pictures and things. But if it has no value to your heart, if it has no strength to stand upon, then it is of meaningless value, and a lot of the emptiness comes from what is talked about today, just trying to get an emotional rise out of you, just trying to get something out of you to give them power. And the second is they flatter, verse 3. With verse 2 more, says, with flattering lips, they speak in a double heart. Flattery is an attempt to stroke you the right way verbally to get you to do things. God hates flattery because flattery is once again insincere. If somebody is flattering you, they don't care about you. They don't love you. They don't have you as their best interest. And so you have, he shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. That's in Daniel 11, when Daniel was looking at what was going on in Babylon. He saw that the Babylonians were very flattering one another, trying to get people to do things. And in Jude, verse 16, it says, they are the grumblers, the malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism or flattery to gain advantages. Jude is saying, at the end of time, when evil is reigning in the earth, there are going to be loud-mouthed boasters, and they are going to be people who flatter, who tell you that you are this or that, a good person, that you deserve this new car, that you deserve this item, this thing that you can go into debt for, these things that people want you to buy, is all a act of flattery, is all attempting to tell you that you're bigger than you are, to puff you up, to bring about pride in your life. They also deceive. Deceive is when people are actively trying to give you false information. In verse 2 it says, in a double heart they speak. In the original Hebrew it says, a heart in a heart they speak. In other words, they say one thing but mean another. People have said that this is speaking out of both sides of your mouth or both sides of your neck. I've heard those things before as being double speak, as saying one thing and meaning another. It also shows up where you speak one way to this group. In church, you have this type of speech. But when you're at work, you have a different type of speech. When you're at home, you have a different type of speech. People who actively seek to deceive have no integrity in their speech. You do not know who they're going to be, and you don't know if what they're telling you is the truth or is going to last, because they are trying to deceive you. And you can sometimes sense when people are doing this that people are trying to get you to do things. One commentator said, man is nothing but insincerity, falsehood, and hypocrisy, both in regard to himself and in regard to others. He does not wish that he should be told the truth. He shuns saying it to others. In all these moods, so inconsistent with justice and reason, have their roots in his heart. And another says, the original language says, a heart in a heart, one for the church, one for the change, one for the Sundays, another for work days, one for the king, one for the pope. A man without a heart is a wonder, but a man with two hearts is a monster. It was said of Judas, there were many hearts in one man. And we read of the saints, there is one heart in many men. And so we are to be true. We are to be integritous with our speech. We are to be predictable in what we believe and how we respond to things, because people should be able to watch us for a period of time. And we are not to be the type that actively deceive. But if the whole world is trying to actively deceive one another and have gamesmanship on one another, then I can see why David would be saying, where have the righteous gone? Lastly, they boast. Boasting is a prideful speech, is saying that they are better than you, or they have done this and you have not done that. Boasting can both lift up myself and put you down. It is very common today for people to gain an advantage by stepping on other people, by proving them wrong, or doing personal ad hominem attacks against them, rather than saying why they are great, why I am great, why I deserve this or deserve that. And that is boasting. Boasting is also empty. And it brings about unbeatable arguments. It says in the Bible, those who say, with our tongues we will prevail. Our lips are with us, who is master over us. People who succeed in the lies and the boasting, and they stop and they wait for the bolt of lightning to come, and there is no judgment from God. And so they keep doing it, and they keep doing it, and with very little consequences today, with very little people caring what is said today, except for the moment, people will say more and more outlandish things, and it is understood that if I say an outlandish thing, I might get on the news, and if I get on the news, then I can be famous, and if I'm looking for your votes, I can get your votes, or if I'm looking for a political position, then I can perhaps win that political position, is what people do when they boast. One very famous story is about the French atheist Voltaire. He made claims against God openly. He once said, "In 20 years, Christianity will be no more. My single hand shall destroy the edifice it took 12 apostles to rear." He wrote that in 50 years, no one would remember Christianity. But the year he wrote that, the British Museum paid the Russian government $500,000 for a Bible manuscript, while one of Voltaire's books was selling in the London bookstore for 8 cents. 50 years after his boast, the house in which Voltaire wrote his atheistic literature was the headquarters of the Geneva Bible Society and was therefore being used to disseminate the Christian scriptures. The nurse who attended Voltaire in his last illness said, "For all the wealth in Europe, I would not want to see another infidel die." His physician's name was Trocum. He was with the great Voltaire when he died and reported that his last words were, "I am abandoned by God and man. I would give you half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 months of life. Then I shall go to hell and you will go with me. O Christ, O Jesus Christ." And then Voltaire died. How misleading human words can be. The most famous words of communism are the opening of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto, "Workers of the world unite." But in demonstrations in Moscow on the occasion of the 72nd anniversary of communism in Russia, people carried signs that read, "Workers of the world, we're sorry," and 72 years leading nowhere. Boasts do not last. People can make bold statements, but you have to see if they hold up in history. And people who stand against God, people who stand against the scriptures, are always shown that that is wrong. David then in verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times." The words of the Lord are absolutely pure. The idea that it is like silver purified seven times, they would take silver and they would melt it down at high heat, and all of the dross and impurities would rise to the top and it would be scraped off, and then they would let it cool again. Then they would heat it up again and more impurities would come up, and they would heat it and cool it until such time as they would heat up the silver and it would be as clear as glass. You would be able to see your reflection fully in the purified liquid silver. And this is an idea of absolute purity. Seven times, it is not a mystical number. You see the word, the number seven throughout the Bible. But what David is using it as, absolute purity, is that there is no impurity, there is no wickedness, there is no lie in the Bible. And when he talks about the Word of God for us, It is talking about the Bible, that we, when we want truth, you say, I want to know some truth today. You do not turn on the TV. You do not turn on a podcast. You do not go to Facebook. You open up your Bible, for the Bible is absolute truth. It is inerrant truth. Today there are three basic views of the Bible. The first is, as I have said, it is the Word of God. It is what it claims to be. It is without flaw. It is without error. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It is perfect in every way. It is the Word of God. And the Word of God, when Christians read it, is illuminated by the Holy Spirit, and it can change lives. We as a church will give Bibles to new Christians or people who want to know about God, because a lecture series may be good explaining it, but nothing can break the heart of a sinner. Nothing can change the heart of a sinner like the Word of God. The second view is that it is a philosophical book written by men, and written quite recently, actually, and not thousands of years ago. And this is gaining popularity in colleges and such, that want to tear down Christianity. Is they don't try to tear down churches or believers. They will always attack the Bible first, because if they can disprove the Bible, then we have nothing to stand on. And the third, which is most popular today, is that it is a combination, is that it was written by men and it contains the Word of God, but you got to hunt for it. And of course, the last two, that it is merely a human document or it is a mixture document, both are heresies, both are blasphemies against the Word of God. The Word of God is pure, it is true, it is inerrant, and one thing that is breaking down churches and Christianity today is people are looking for all sorts of new ideas, because the Bible is old and boring. That we need new ideas, we need new styles of music, we need new thoughts on things of the Bible. And this is taking all sorts of Christians who thought they believed in the truth in all sorts of heretical directions. We need to stick with the Bible and what the Bible says, and only the Bible can lead us to God. Only the Bible can change lives. Many years ago, Time magazine had this as their cover story: the breadth, sophistication, and diversity of all this biblical investigation is impressive, but it begs a question: has it made the Bible more credible or less? Literalists who feel the ground move when a verse is challenged would have to say that credibility has suffered. Doubt has been sown. Faith is in jeopardy. But believers who expect something else from the Bible may well conclude that its credibility has been enhanced. After more than two centuries of facing the heaviest guns that could be brought to bear, the Bible has survived and is perhaps the better for the siege. Even on the critics' own terms, historical fact, the Scriptures seem more acceptable now than when the rationalists began the attack. Every organization, government, group that elevates man above God will try to destroy the Bible. And even though countries have had great movements of book burning and Bible burning, Bibles always seem to pop up. When Bibles are sent to China, back when we used to send print Bibles to China, they would be mobbed, and if one person got one page, they would be satisfied. And so people are hungry for the Word of God. Now we just email Bibles to people, to their phones in China, and break through the Chinese firewall, and technology is really helping us get Bibles under government watchdogs into the hands of people, and people's lives are being changed. There are now more Christians in China than there are members of the Communist Party, and the Communist Party is worried about that. That's why the Communist Party has said you cannot have any outward sign of being a Christian. Your church cannot have a cross on top. You cannot wear cross jewelry, things of this nature. And Christians just take it in stride, because the Bible talks about this, about how the government was going to be against Christians. And the Christian movement in China continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. And the Chinese, the Communist Party in China goes shrink, 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 shrink. So if you're just going by numbers, whatever they try isn't working. And eventually, Christianity is going to win. And so Psalm 12 ends in verse 7 with, "You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever." David stands on the rock of God, that whatever the world is doing, whatever the world is yelling at you, whatever the world wants to do to you, the Word of God will stand, and we can pray to God. We can say, "Save us." We can say, "Help us. These things are happening that I do not like," but we come to a place of confidence, knowing that God will keep us, that my faith is not in vain, that what I am standing for will bring me one day to stand before God, and I will see Him face to face, and I will live forever in the glory of God. That is the message of Scripture, and that is what David always comes back to, that he has this problem, he has these people that are against him. But he always comes back that God, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of the covenant, the God that Moses met at the burning bush and met at Mount Sinai, the covenant name of God is going to protect us and is going to save us. And you say, "Well, how do you know?" And I say, "Well, this tells me on pretty much every page and every chapter, God wins. God's in charge. God's sovereignty is above all. God is never successfully challenged. And if I hold this as the inerrant word of God, then I can stand on it. And if I stand on it, I'm standing on the truth of God." And so whatever is going on in your life, whatever is upsetting you, or people are coming against you, or you're hearing this and that is making you angry, or you think this is going to happen and you're worrying about that, come back to the Word of God. Stand on the promises of God. The Word of God is pure. It is refined seven times like pure silver. It is perfect. It is everything you need. The Word of God is where we stand. We began with Mark Twain and we end with Mark Twain. He said, "If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. And if you talk about God and the Bible, you never have to backtrack or correct yourself or bring you back." Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the word of God. In today especially, words matter and truth matters. And above all, your truth, your word is truth. Lord, we thank you for this. I pray that you would open our hearts and give us a special blessing today, everybody that is here, to understand your word better, to know your word better. Lord, we thank you for your word, for David who wrote the psalm, and for all that you've shown us today. Lord, we thank you and ask your blessing upon the remainder of the day. Amen.
Cornerstone Fellowship is located at 180 Llewellyn Boulevard, San Lorenzo, California. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:45 a.m. Our website is livingfreetoday.org, and our phone number is 510-278-2622. May God continue to bless you as you serve your King. God bless.